Welcome. You're tuned in to The Rest of the Sermon, a podcast where we dive deeper into content, conversation, and application of Sunday's sermon at Westside Church in Poplar Bluff.
If you want more information, you can visit our website at westsidepb.org. If you have any questions you'd like answered on this podcast, you can email them to info@westsidepb.
Most importantly, it's all about Jesus.
I wish I could think of all the songs I was thinking as you were preaching Sunday. Like, it was funny, the little, like, I went from Coolio, but I also, there was some For King and Country in there. It was a mix. It was wild. The ADHD was kicking my tail.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
For it and didn't do it. I was like, well, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was a good. It was John's idea.
John.
And I was like, should we play it at church? And then I said,
just that
we've
verse.
Had,
just the one.
I was going to say, we've had weirder songs. I mean, have you watched the Christmas program from a few years ago where I had
Yeah, we
kids,
did the Beatles.
Yeah, I have kids yelling, war is over.
Yeah.
It was
that was an awesome bumper video, too, by
it
the
was.
Way.
It was
Riots
really cool.
on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting time.
I feel like I've seen that.
Yeah, it was not exactly the most Christmassy of Christmases, but it was at the same time.
No. Are we rolling?
Yep.
Cool. Oh, hey.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the rest of the sermon with John, Nikki, and myself.
Yeah.
So we're here.
We're here.
It's 4th of July. It's actually 4th of July.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah, we did the parade this morning downtown. Kids got candy.
I was going to say, what was your thought of that, being new to the Poplar Bluff area?
I mean, I grew up loving parades because in St. Louis they had a parade and it was amazing. I remember just getting candy.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing I knew was going to be there was candy. And there was lots of candy.
There was lots of candy.
Yeah, I think that's a given with, actually, I take that back. In Virginia, it was a law that you could not throw candy out. And so parades.
Did they just hand it to you?
No, they banned all candy in parades.
Oh, how mean.
So just a bunch of waves.
Yeah, so it's just waves.
Business cards.
Exactly. There was nothing to be given out because of, like, I don't know, contamination and stuff like that. It was like, yeah, I don't know. It was different.
I was making a joke when we were there of all the Tootsie Rolls that got left.
Oh,
just
yeah.
a moment of silence for them because, I mean, let's just, listeners, if you love Tootsie Rolls, I'm not judging, just, but.
Yeah, Christy was walking around picking up all the Tootsie Rolls. She's like, this is my Christmas present.
Right.
I'm just not a Tootsie Roll person.
Okay, so is it the flavored Tootsie Rolls or the original, like, chocolatey ones you don't like?
It's just the flavor's gone so fast.
Okay.
It's like bubble. It's like the actual double bubble gum.
Yeah, it's gross.
Three chews and it's out. It's
done. Yeah.
What about you guys?
I can do Tootsie Rolls on occasion. I'm not, but I don't like the flavored ones at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I outgrew Tootsie Rolls. But was that your original question?
Just,
the parade or the Tootsie Rolls?
I mean, if you get a candy at a parade, would it be a Tootsie Roll? I mean, are you going to throw that?
Oh,
let the ants have it? They were throwing Snickers. They were throwing Jolly Ranchers.
See?
They had Ice Pops.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
No.
That's genius.
And I think that's experience I've seen over the years. Because, I mean, growing up here, I remember sitting, my aunt had an apartment, and we would sit, and it hurt, like, fire escape overlooked the post office downtown. So we would sit up there and watch the parade come and then run down to the street to do the parades. And I'm a Jolly Rancher, like sour candy for life.
But in the heat, that's where it's, I don't know.
But it's morphed and like they're doing away popsicles and some people have ice and toothbrushes and just depending on what.
Giving out toothbrushes?
Yeah. There's been some local dentists that have done toothbrushes. And yeah, I think it's creative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we thought about theme of 4th of July, since we're recording on 4th of July. Some memorable 4th of July memories you have, either recent or old. And the reason why I ask the questions is because I've got one.
Ooh,
so I'll
yours?
Start,
yeah.
And then you guys can go. But I love fireworks. I love cakes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All types, but especially firework cakes. But first of all, I love holding bottle rockets in my hands.
Oh.
Don't judge. You just got to wait for it at the right time and then throw it. And it's so much
fun.
Well, so I grew up
Kids
where...
Kids, do not do this at home. We do not endorse this
no,
at all.
Yeah, listener discretion. But
now's a great time to talk about our sponsor, First Choice Insurance.
so we grew up in South Florida where like we were lighting fireworks at that age. And one of the things that everyone did was light fireworks with their hands. Like they would just, you know, throw them, whatever. Roman candle fights, those were always a thing. I mean, again, this was nothing...
Such a boy thing.
None of this was safe whatsoever. You'd have bottle rocket fights. Anyway, some of the people listening will have done this. But anyway... There was one time in particular where I had a neighbor who lit just like a pack of them. There was about six bottle rockets. Oh, yeah, you already know where this is going. lit six of them and then put them in my back pocket.
No.
And I ran thinking I was running away from the fireworks and quite the opposite.
Your
the
tail was on fire.
I have never screamed so loud and been so mad at my neighbors. But yeah, that was my, that's when I think of 4th of July memory, it's getting fireworks shoved in my back pocket and me having to run away and feeling like I was, that was the end of my life.
That'll do it.
So that's my most memorable, I'd say, for 4th of July, besides my dog story I shared.
Right. John?
What you guys?
Well, for me, I used to work at a theme park. And so the 4th of July was like always the biggest event, you know? And so I was a professional clown. So if you didn't know that, that's a fun fact. So I was in a clown band, and the theme park that I worked at was called King's Dominion in Virginia. And so we would always do like four or five shows a day. And throughout the day, we would do our shows. And then on 4th of July was the big day. And so we maxed out capacity at the park. There was like, you know, armed wall to wall people, you know, you couldn't walk through the park without running into somebody. And we had to add extra shows that day because it was always so packed. So we were doing like six or seven shows a day, which is a lot. Like when you're performing all day. Yeah. And we're outside in the heat all day. And it was like, you know, very active show. And so like we were sweating and all of that stuff. And when the show was done, we would come back in, grab our second set of costume, and then go back out. That's how, you know, fast paced it was.
Some Taylor Swift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, pretty much. And then, but the cool thing is that after our shift, we would stay in the park and then watch the big fireworks show. Yeah. And this was like $1 million fireworks show. Yeah. And that was always super fun. So like get to hang out with the cast and see all the other casts, you know, in their street clothes, and nobody knew who we were in the park outside of our costumes.
Sure.
So we got to, you know, be, you know, park guests for the rest of the day. But that was before I met Haley. And then the cool thing is that if you know our story, I met Haley during 4th of July weekend, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now. So
I didn't, this is new. I love it. This is all. Yeah.
And so when I came for, came for 4th of July and spent the weekend with my mom. And then on actual 4th of July, I got to watch Haley be a clown. She was also a clown, handing out candy with her mom, who is also a clown. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we got to, you know, shoot guns at my, you know, my mom's house in the country in Campbell. So it's always been like a fun little tradition. It's like, hey, this is when we actually met. This was our first time talking, you know, our first time, you know, dating and all of the fun stuff. And so, so it's always holds a special place in my heart.
That's,
you know,
I love that. That's a good holiday for you guys. That's so sweet.
Like clown shoes and all.
Yeah, clown shoes and all. Yeah.
Man,
size 13 Chuck Taylors.
The visuals are coming in. I love it. Nikki, what about you?
So I think it's funny that John mentioned theme parks. We've always kind of as a family been gone on the 4th of July. We have done a lot of vacations. Like I think Branson, if you ever get over there, there's a great fireworks show at the lake. And I've got some really cool pictures of my kids when they were little.
Some friends went, with the landing.
Yeah, they do some great stuff there. We've been in New Orleans for the 4th of July and they do like dueling barges down there. Mm. And it's really cool. We've done Six Flags at the 4th. So for us, it's usually like there's always family. Whether
I was gonna say St. Louis
here.
Downtown, I feel like they used to do them on the boats and it was insanely
we've
awesome.
Done it. We've done that. Yes. I mean, so for me, it's just kind of those, like the 4th isn't always like a huge production. I am such a practical person that it pains me to buy fireworks. I will buy sparklers. Those are my jam. Those are fun. And the snakes. I don't mind those either.
To me, that's a way. I mean,
I know every
poppers come into a close like second.
Right. They're like, it's just such a way. I'm like, you guys literally are burning money. I don't understand it, but I do it. And it's pretty.
Artillery shells.
But it's just noisy.
That's so much fun.
Okay.
One at a time. It's so much effort just for one firework. It's great.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
No. I was going to say, for me, it's just there's always been a family element that we're all together doing. Not necessarily even just me, Rick, and the kids, but like my brothers. And there's just always, we're never alone. There's always people with us. And we're kind of just take a moment and just kind of like, aw. And it's fun. It's easy.
True American. Love
yeah,
it. Here's great. A question I think I just thought of that I think anybody would be able to answer with. It's barbecue, 4th of July. What are you throwing on the grill? You got hot dogs, bratwursts, hamburgers, or some other 4th? What do you guys got? What are you going with?
I'm a hot for dog yourself. For life kind of girl. Like, I want a hot dog.
Okay, hot dog. What are you putting on it? If you put relish, we're ending this podcast.
Oh, well. Just kidding. Cooper and I were just talking about this the other day. One, I want my hot dog almost burnt.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
My uncles have done it for years when there's a family celebration. We don't like grumble over the, they have to burn so many because we all want them like almost burnt. I want the mustard. I mean, I'm not picky, but yeah, all the things. All the things on it.
Some chili cheese dogs, I'm down. No? Okay.
Not for the 4th.
Not for the 4th, okay.
To me, that's more of a like cozy, you don't want to let go of summer yet. Okay. Right. Yeah.
It's fair. Noted. Yeah. All right, Jen, what about you? We put it on the grill.
I want some kebabs. Shrimp kebabs would be awesome. You know, with the green peppers and maybe a little bit of pineapple cut up in there.
See, I would have not seen that coming.
Okay. I don't know. I'm a tropical guy, I guess, when it comes to that.
Yeah. It probably tastes amazing compared to me. I'm going bratwurst all day.
Bratwurst.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, bratwurst with mustard.
See, now.
And if it's cheddar bratwurst, then I'm not going to complain.
No.
That's my...
Yeah. The jalapeno cheddar ones are like pretty awesome.
If you can cook raw ones, I feel like those are the best. But Megan does not like bratwurst. So I always, if I'm gonna have bratwurst, it's the whole package is mine.
Gotcha.
Nice. So,
so do you boil them and then grill them, or do you just slowly on the grill forever?
Just let them make a huge fire on the grill. Yep, it's great.
Gotcha.
Good stuff. Well, hey, if you're listening, we want to know what's your 4th of July barbecue preference.
Well, I was gonna say, and being where we are now, it's official watermelon season.
So get this. My in-laws came in last weekend, and they specifically went. There's apparently a farm around here. And
one or two.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Should have been more clarity. But they came down from Springfield to here with their trailer because they brought us Judah's playset. Anyway, they left. They wanted to stop by a watermelon farm and cantaloupes and everything. They took it back.
Hey, guys, we wanted to take a break from the podcast, and I wanted to fill you in on this incredible resource. Listen, I know I've got a lot of pastor friends, a lot of church volunteers. Maybe you're on staff at a church. And there's a ton of things that when I started working at a church that I didn't know anything about. And when I became pastor at Westside, there was a lot that I didn't know about. And one of those things was church insurance. I'm in a board meeting. Someone says, "What's our insurance policy?" And I'm like, "I have no idea." Listen, I don't care how much you paid for your seminary education. They don't teach you about church insurance. But listen, Westside has found a great resource at First Choice Insurance through our agent, Matt Phillips. First Choice Insurance is locally operated. It is family owned. They have a ton of insurance policies from A to Z. They've insured everything from airplanes, zoos. Like, legitimately, Matt told me that they've insured a lion before. So listen, if you work at a church, if you're a pastor, and you're like, "Seminary did not teach me about church insurance," I want you to reach out to Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance. The number is 573-686-2870. Again, that's Matt Phillips at First Choice Insurance, 573-686-2870. 2870, or you can check them out on Facebook. Again, family owned, locally operated, Matt Phillips, First Choice Insurance. Back to the show, guys.
Guys, they're selling it back in Springfield, saying fresh from the boot hill.
Yeah.
And they're selling it out of a trailer right now in Willard, Missouri. And I thought that was just wild that, like,
no.
Yeah.
Down in Kennett, like, I went to high school at Neelaville, which isn't 5 minutes down the road, it feels like. But a lot of kids in the summer would go to Kennett and they would pitch melons and work in the fields.
Yeah, Jason's got a pitching melon story too.
Yeah, it's just very common.
I'll say this is all country to me in that sense of like, I mean, it's like a trade, like, oh, we're actually going to sell it with the brand. It's from the boot hill, fresh from the vine is what they're saying.
And like, we have our own peach brand around here. Yeah, legit. Yeah.
Just, man, Papa Bluff has been teaching me a lot. Been playing with sheep and...
Yeah, there you go.
Watermelon farms and all that. Well, cool. Well, hey, guys, we are doing Psalm 23 the last 2 weeks. And so what we decided was to take a break from the Pillars of Truth series while Jason and this family is getting some rest. And we are talking about Psalm 23 this week. Now, before we do that, I think it would be, at least for me, I don't know about you guys, what's your history with the book of Psalms? Do you have a favorite psalm? Is there a season of your life where you read a psalm and you're like, that's my song for right now in this season? Do you have anything like that, John, Nikki?
Yeah, I feel like for me, it's I have these, you know, these times of being a human where I, you know, find myself not being in the Bible as much as I should be. And so that's always a great way to get back in the Bible for me is like, go back into the Psalms. There's nowhere you can go that is not, you know, applicable to your life in the psalm. Yeah, so you can literally just open it up, read a psalm, and be like, hey, you know what? I can find application in my life.
Yeah.
And now I can go somewhere else in the book, or in the Bible. And so I feel like that's always where I dive in. For me, I guess the one that I always think of is probably Psalm 23 or Psalm 121. It's like, where does the strength, where does my strength come from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Comes from the Lord. And so that one is probably the one I think of the most. But the one I've read, I guess, the most recently is Psalm 98, where it talks about making a joyful noise,
yeah.
right? And sing a new song and, yeah. You know, coming out of VBS and like we literally made a new song. And so the reason why we sing, and I was teaching the kids, the reason why we sing is because we have salvation. And we are so thankful for the for that and for the Lord that we can't help but sing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if we remember all the words or if we remember all the dances or if we can sing or can't sing, match pitch, not match pitch. It doesn't matter. God is glorified and that makes him happy. And we are mm-hmm. using our voices to praise the Lord. And that's why it's called a joyful noise, right? We talked about with the kids, what is a noise? When our baby brother cries or when we hear a car alarm or a fire truck or anything like that. But a joyful noise is we're using our heart to sing to God. And so, you know, that's just kind of, you know, where my mind has been this past couple of weeks is Psalm 98. And so, making a new song and singing a joyful noise.
I love it.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's one for any day of the week. What about you, Nick?
Well, Psalm 23 does have a special place in my heart as it is tattooed to my husband. so like that all kind of fits in his story and his walk that I've been a part of. I personally revert back to Psalm 119 a lot. And like, working in the area that I work in, you can get very distracted by the work, the tediousness of I've got to have people for this and this, that, and the other, and just the logistical side of it all, that it's very easy to get caught up in that and not remember why.
Sure.
And so for me, when I go back, I am reminded over and over to hide the word, to constantly come back into study, that I need that in my heart. Because then when I'm doing my work, it's from a place of God coming through me, not me trying to line up my will with God. But and so for me, I go to Psalm 119 and read it weekly, usually, sometimes yeah. 3 and 4 times a week. But it's just one of those reminders of, hey, this isn't about me. It's not about me. This is about God's will and coming through and why I have to do the prep work and God's the light that I'm following, not my will and stuff. So it's really fun for me. I love that we do the Psalms in the summers because I think we take those breaks and it's kind of a refresher like, oh, yeah, this is why. And for me, it's very fun. I live for that.
Yeah, I heard it one time said that the Psalms are the greatest hits from the Israelites. Like, if you were to turn on the radio of like, what's your favorite song? The Israelites would have a psalm, and they'd teach their kids. And when they'd go on traveling, they would sing songs while they're traveling. It's just an interesting way of like learning about how they learned to live with God was to sing praises. That was actually part of the DNA of our lives. We just do it on a Sunday morning.
Yeah,
we don't see the power of an everyday. Our lives are a praise to God in that sense. Yeah,
yeah,
that's really cool.
And that's a good plug for our sermons last year. We did the Psalms of Ascent in the summer. And so if you go back to, you know, the previous podcasts and the previous videos and stuff like that, you can go see, you know, where we talked about the Psalms of Ascent, where we talked about the pilgrimages and stuff where they would actually use those in application and singing the Psalms while they were traveling. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good, I mean, it's just think about how you teach your kids. I mean, it's when your kids, not if your kids, but when your kids ask you, what are you doing? You're able to tell them why and the story. Yeah. And it's in a form of a song. And for them, it's just part of the DNA of their life. That was really cool.
It's been really fun for me as a parent of older kids. Like Jolie growing up and we'll listen to certain songs and she will say, hang on, wait a minute, isn't that? And how many of like popular Christian songs have taken the Psalms and hearing a kid make that connection, I'm over here like, yeah, that's it. It's confirmation of we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And they're getting it. And it's so great.
Yep. I love it. So what we did for Psalm 23 is we had a 2-week series. Here's kind of a recap. If you didn't catch the sermons, you can go to westsidepb.org to check those out. But I want to give you the recap on Psalm 23 because we went in pretty heavy-handed with splitting up between the first three verses and the last three verses. And the goal of the series was this, to understand the Psalms are a tool for the language of our prayers. And so we talked about how, you know, when we learn to pray, one of the first things I know that I remember doing in youth ministry was kids always said the words, "I don't know what to pray." Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just an interesting way of looking at the Psalms, or kind of giving us the kind of the DNA or a blueprint of how to pray, what to pray for. And so I thought it was interesting as we looked at Psalm 23, how it's been such a comforting psalm to so many different people, whether it be at a funeral, whether it be a dark place of their life, whether it be a good season. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." In this series, I think it's been, for me, it's been interesting just teaching it because, for one, I have a special thought. When I think of the Psalms, some of you guys know my story, but when we were in the NICU, I used to post updates every day because during COVID, that was the easiest way to get information out. Was through.
It's time to give another shout out to another sponsor of the Rest of the Sermon podcast. This shout out goes to our great friends over at Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Smart Marketing is a fantastic media company. And when I say media, I mean websites, graphic design, videography, anything that you need, Smart Marketing can do it. You need to head on over to Facebook, just type in Smart Marketing, and you'll see their cool light bulb logo pop up, and you can get a ton of information there. Or you can just give them a call, Smart Marketing at 573-840-0334. Again, that's Smart Marketing right here in Poplar Bluff, 573-840-0334. Back to the show.
Facebook. And so I made a post. You can still look back on my Facebook feed to this day. Just go back to April and May of 2020. I used to, every day after we got the doctor's like update on what's going on, what's the goals, I would find a psalm, and then I would go ahead and actually post that psalm, and then like a little devotion about like how that's actually speaking life to me. And there was so many people that I didn't even know were, I don't want to, I say blessed by it, but they were just, it was life for them to see, hey, I know what you're going through, and what you have, I want to have it too. Or I want to say what you're saying as well. Even though I don't feel it, I'm going to say it in faith to actually believe it. And that for me was so just incredible to look back. It was small little things. It wasn't a huge chapter. It was little chunks. And it was the amount of life that it spoke. In so much uncertainty in my life, God's word was the only foundation that actually seemed to not just like not just to be present and feel like I was close to the Lord, but it was one of those things where you would say one prayer with a little psalm attached, and it was the next day and the next day. And even though there were some good days and bad days, like, it was still just that repetitive, I'm going to go back to the Psalms, because the Psalms are not afraid to deal with the human emotion. And I don't think in the church we talk about emotion a lot.
No.
And I think that's one thing I wanted to point out in this series. I feel like God was kind of leading me to that. And I think, you know, we all went to Summit with the Grace Family of Churches, mm-hmm. with Chip Dodd, and he talked a lot about emotions and kind of, I think, put us all in the moment of like, whoa, God actually cares about how we're made. One thing that he says in his book really kind of profound to me when I was reading it is, we're born needy creatures.
Yeah.
We're born needy. We're born needing milk and love and care and attention. And what he says in the book, what's kind of interesting, is a lot of people think that they grow out of that. It's actually the opposite.
Right.
We never stop needing things from other people and our creator. Yeah. So it was just interesting when we look at the emotions of the Psalms, that the Psalms, David wrote 73 of the Psalms.
Yeah.
So he's the one that has the most credit, but most people think David wrote all the Psalms.
Right.
And that's not actually what you read. You can look at the first part of the chapters, and there's kind of a tag for who it is. But what about you guys as far as what has stuck out in this series of Psalm 23 specifically? We talked about human emotion. There's been a lot of questions or a lot of things that have come to mind on the valley of contentment. Mm. What do you guys think about how many hours it takes to read the Bible? All of that. Do you guys remember 75 hours it takes to read the Bible?
To read the Bible.
And yet most of us are on our phones like 6 hours a day.
Yeah, I hate that every week when I get the update from my phone on how much I've been on it. I'm like, I don't need this information.
Dude, mine tells me every Sunday morning.
Right. We were here. Yeah.
Yeah, it right before service starts, I get a little buzz. Yeah,
I don't want that.
Straight, yeah. See you at the altar. Yeah, what stuck out in this series so far? I mean, it's only a 2-week series, so we're done. But what stuck out?
Well, I think we do forget, because if you read through the Psalms and you're reading it, you kind of wonder, like, David's mental health was not great,
sure,
at all, which he had been through so many different things, and so you can understand and appreciate where he was coming from. If you know. If you don't know and you just pick up the Bible and you have no understanding of who David was or where, you're like, this dude is bipolar and needs some help. And he does, and he's asking for it. Yeah. And I think that is such a beautiful thing. One of my friends posted after VBS this week, and she was a volunteer, and something about why is it wrong to need attention? Mm. And it's not.
That's good.
And it really sat with me because we deal with kids and we've had, you know, so many running around. Oh, well, they just want attention. And the bad part of that is what?
Yeah.
There's not one, in my opinion. I mean, there's better ways to gain attention. Yeah,
adults just get on their Facebook and,
exactly.
and say things that they want attention. Yeah.
I mean,
it's just called what it is.
Yeah. And so I sat with that and I was reading through, you know, some prep and I just kept coming back to this being just such a foundational set of verses that does come back to whether you are older, younger, no matter where you are in your walk. You said something Sunday, and I wish I could remember exactly how you said it, about if you've been through some hard times, quit blaming yourself. It's not you. God did not put this on you. This is just life, but this is where we lean to. And I think of those little moments of we do as humans, we want to be in control. And I think this psalm reminds us that we are still those needy people wanting attention and we are not in control.
We're just sheep.
We're just sheep.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not as hard as we're making it.
Yeah, that's one thing I loved when I was reading, you know, kind of, you know, what's funny about if you're new to Westside or if you know anything about Jason Jordan, whenever he allows, you know, hey, anyone to share the pulpit, I always get access to his library.
Mm.
And so he's like, hey, you're doing Psalm 23. And so he comes in my office legit. I probably have 15 books that he was like, hey, check all these out. And I'm like, dude, the sermon's 6 days away. And he's like, right, here's 1,000 pages.
I was going to say, and his library is extensive.
And it's all, like, and some of it's too dedicated just to, like, Psalm 23. And so I just thought it was fun to go through that because a lot of it was just reminding, like, David was a king. He was a shepherd boy, but he was a king.
Yeah.
And the fact that he would look back, and most scholars would say that he looked back into his life, that this psalm is not written in the early years of his life, but probably more in his later years, because as he grew older, he grew a more better understanding of his need for a shepherd in his own personal life. You know, his son Absalom, I mean, the heartbreak that they had with Absalom, and Absalom dies, he's not able to rectify the relationship. You have Goliath, you have Bathsheba, you have all those different stories that we know about David. And it's like, as David got older, instead of not relying on God, he actually learned how he needed to rely on God. And now just, it's just crazy to see. When you look back, you would think the psalm was written, oh, he was written in the field.
No.
You know, and yeah, I just thought it was really cool. What else in this series, though? I mean, what are some things, maybe some stories that stuck out? There were some stories that I shared this last week about valleys, mountaintops. What are some things? I mean, any little nuggets? I call them little golden nuggets.
I mean, I think for me, kind of you touched on it. It's just like the accuracy in which he writes. I mean, it's interesting to see throughout the Psalms, you know, writing 73 of them, you can kind of see a case study of David's life.
Yeah.
And even though he writes them at different times in his life, he always kind of structures them the same way. He tells what his emotion is, but he still praises God. He says what he's going through. He says how he's feeling. He still praises God. And even if he's praising God in the most smallest ways, like, and thank you for this one little thing, but all of these other things are going so wrong, but thank you for this one little thing. But he always finds a reason to thank God and praise God no matter what his emotion is. And I think that's kind of uplifting and just to see how David grows throughout his whole life and organize these psalms in a different way. But to me, the most interesting thing is the specifics of being a shepherd and how he writes in the psalm, the way it's laid out is, you know, I didn't know all of the specifics about being a shepherd and knowing what the oil was for or knowing what, you know, the staff and the rod were for. I've always heard those things, but like knowing the specific use for what the staff is for, what the rod is for, or why the shepherd goes before the sheep to know that the terrain is there or making sure that there's sheep or beside still waters. Like, why is that important? You know, finding out the historical aspect of it, you know, maybe not historical, but like the vocational aspect of it and how accurate that was. And
I mean,
all of that is so true, and it's so applicable to our walk with Jesus. You know?
Yeah, no, so good, because there was one thing that I had come across, because many times you see pictures of Psalm 23, and the one thing you'll see is it's the backdrop where it's all green grass, and we forget that this is ancient Judea that we're most likely talking about here. And so you got to think, if you think it's more desert where you don't have a shepherd, one is the grass isn't just randomly growing out on the hillsides. And actually what was interesting is what the shepherd would do is actually look for rocks, because the moisture buildup in the soil apparently around the rocks would allow the actual soil to grow grass for them to eat. So it's just, just an interesting thought of many of us. We think of the hillside and it's just beautiful, almost looks like, you know, the beach or something where it's like the waves and it's just all this bliss. But for a shepherd, his job was serious.
Yeah.
We look at, you know, we think of David wearing like lightweight clothing and like, no, like he walked. No. I mean, a modern day shepherd would have a handgun.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a modern day shepherd legit has weapons.
Yeah.
And it's not just this innocent little meek person. It's exact opposite of what we think. I mean, you got to think, why did David, we look at this. I mean, there's a song or not a song, but a story we teach our kids, right? It's David and Goliath. It's like he goes up to Goliath and has faith. Like, what does that look like? And the fact that he's not intimidated.
Right.
He goes, Goliath's not a bear or a lion, you know? And it's one of those things. I think of C.S. Lewis, like, God needs no defending. He's a lion in a cage. You just need to open up the cage and he'll do like, that's, I just feel like David had such an understanding that he gives us of what a true shepherd is. It's the power and strength of the shepherd we talked about Sunday. I mean, we can have comfort in the strength of our shepherd and just what that means in our lives of, if you're in a valley, as long as you have the shepherd, there is going to be nutrition. There is going to be those moments of peace, regardless of if you're even in the presence of your enemies. So, yeah, I thought that was just an interesting, it's been fun studying it, that's for sure. Well,
I don't really know anyone who says, my life was amazing, everything was great, and I found Jesus.
Yeah.
I honestly, and I'm not saying that to be, you know, like flippant about it, but it is like, I do not recall a time in my life where I did not know the name Jesus. Even as a kid, I don't necessarily remember the exact moment I got saved. I remember just always being like, okay, Jesus has me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it probably happened at a very young age is why I don't remember. But I can look back on moments where I was in valleys and life was not great and it was awful and hard. And that's when that relationship grew and that I learned to trust, and it came from sitting down, reading out of moments of like exasperation and exhaustion that I leaned in. The same thing when it comes to, and I mean, I speak from a livestock background, so it's very different, but it is very similar. You can't, it's, you know, hot. Those sheep, when it is this hot, them having that wool as part of their cooling system, if they're not sheared at the correct time, if they've got too much. I mean, there are so many little checks and balances when it comes to that. And you're thinking desert, hard shoes, rough terrain, you know, cut feet of David, of the shepherd. Like, they are taking some blows, as are the sheep, that you have to have that trust and that faith, because you won't walk through it. And I think we want to make it harder than it is in a lot of ways and try to put our... So when you said you're not God, I'm like, thank you. I needed that reminder. I'm not God. I don't need to do this. But those valleys don't last forever, because if it was all valley, it would just be flat. There's a mountain to climb up.
Yeah, it's good. We kind of go back to what John was saying, talking about, you know, David and his transparency. What would our prayer lives look like if it was just out of honesty?
Yeah.
Not out of want and, Lord, I want to feel or I want to do, but Lord, I'm honest. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not who I want to be. I'm not, you know, I don't have this. Or I don't. But Lord, I have you.
Yeah.
And just being honest, I think that, I don't know, especially for me, I mean, that's something I was saved as like a 15-year-old. So right. I remember this, guys, no joke. At one Christmas, my dad, and this is a Christmas story, but it's relative. We all make Christmas lists when you're growing up. You know, your parents like, make a Christmas list, then we'll go to the store and we'll buy all your gifts and whatever. And you'll get like three out of the 10, right? You'll never get the whole list. Well, my dad 1 year got me the whole list. And I don't know how, whether it was my mom or someone else told me, well, he got everything on your list. And as a selfish teenager, you know what I did? I went and made another list.
Yeah.
I mean, so the thought of neediness and I want and I want and I want. And I think what's interesting when you look, especially even in the Christian life of, we're surrounded by realizing we have all that we need.
Yeah.
And it's community. I think one big thing that I think many of us overlook is just how we can be honest with the community around us, whether it be in prayer or not, but just being honest with, you have brothers and sisters in Christ, like if they don't know what you're struggling with, I was telling you guys this, like, I don't know what to pray for.
Right.
I can pray for your families and your marriages and your kids, but like, I want to know the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Not to be nosy, but I want to be with you in the valley.
Yeah.
I don't want you to go through the valley alone. I mean, I think being honest in our prayers would transform. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I had a conversation with a church member and I felt like I was prying into businessy, nosy stuff, but it was because of that exact reason. If I can be more specific in my prayer,
yeah,
like, what can I pray for you? And they were like, it doesn't have to go further. If you want me to take it to staff, I will take it to staff. And then it stops there. But what can we, and it does take a level of trust.
Sure.
Because those words have been used against people so many times. And for that, I'm so sorry if that's happened to you. But we do need to walk through those valleys with each other. We can't do this alone.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that is so funny, when you're preparing a message, you never know when the Lord's going to speak to you. And I know I say that sounds super spiritual, but we were at Taco Bell before we started our diet.
Most spiritual place ever, Taco Bell.
It's Taco Bell. I just go there for divine inspiration. But we were eating inside at the lobby and Megan was kind of asking me, hey, what's the sermon this week? What's kind of your big idea? What are you thinking? And I kind of started rambling like I normally do. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I'm not making me make much sense. And all of a sudden I said, most people think that testimonies are written on the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because we love mountaintops.
Yeah.
We love talking about how we're on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. But it's like what you just said. There was a valley before the mountaintop.
Yeah.
And the testimonies aren't written in the mountaintop. They're meant in the valleys. Yeah. And Sunday we shared two specific hymns about, they were written, no joke, in the person's valley of their life, probably the deepest darkness they had shared. And I thought that was just interesting when I look at my life of the deepest valleys I've been in, when it was when my parents were in trouble with the law. Some of that story, I haven't really shared much of that story, I realized.
No.
So yeah, who knows? Sermon coming to you soon, maybe. But just the thought of the valleys are where testimonies are written.
Yeah.
I remember being a young teenager and I was like, I don't really have a story. And then I would start talking about just what I'd gone through.
Right.
And this is kind of goes back to that whole honesty of like, just being honest with what you've gone through in your life. Like, that's a testimony that you're here today.
Right.
Like, praise God that you're here, that you're not somewhere you shouldn't be, or, you know, Lord willing, not here at all. I mean, there's, if we're being honest, like, I think there's some transparency of just like, the valleys are oftentimes where the Christians live.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to be in the mountaintop. We want to be Moses and have our face shining. And,
but I think there's an arrogance that we get with it. Like, oh, we follow Jesus. Everything should be sunshine and rainbows. Yeah. How'd that work out for Peter?
Yeah.
Where was Paul?
Yeah. I mean, all the disciples have died a very horrific death.
Horrific. Yeah. And then, I mean, honestly, okay, we think we should have this easy peasy walk because we walk with Jesus. The man was sinless, was perfection, and was brutal, like lived a brutal life, died a brutal death. Why are we better than that? I don't know why we twist that sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know if, especially too, if it's in the Western world, and I know we say that just, you know, I mean, when it looks at screen time, how much, you know, we have Prime Day coming up, how much money we spend there,
right.
Like just all these things that are so Western. But when you look at, there is still persecuted churches in the world right now, as we speak, meeting underground, meeting in places that arguably they're risking their lives to get together, to sing and to just pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I personally forget that. I remember there was a season of my ministry where I was really fascinated with the Tyndale translation, just the Tyndale Bible Committee.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up online. It's really interesting just to see that there are many different linguistic tongues that do not have the New Testament or both Old Testament, New Testament in their actual native language. And the stories that you would hear of, let's say, just the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, a community would get the Gospel of Matthew in their language. And they would be surrounding like this box that would almost come in, just like you would think of like a UPS box, and the community just swarming to get their hands on a tangible copy of the Bible in their language. And
the
I got to thinking,
there is beautiful.
It's just, and yeah. And like, how often do I forget, like there's what, 7,000, I think, spoken languages around the globe or something like that. And there's only like 2,000 of them that have the Bible in their actual native language in full. And the Tyndale translation, their Bible committee, what they do is they're dedicated. They have people in those communities that they're paying to help translate the Bible in their native tongues. And it's just an incredible story. I remember preaching about it many times, of just the hunger, the honesty of they just want, they're hungry for what we have so conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
And how often are we the exact opposite of, we only come to this when it's convenient.
Yeah.
And when we do that, it becomes a vending machine. It becomes something that's not tangible for our lives. We can't live off of it. And I don't know, for me, that there was always a little post-it note I had when I was still working in the corporate world of like the Lord. And I always said that the Lord translates over 100 translations a year in other languages. Mm. Mm. And it's just interesting to look at the Western world of the wants, the cares, the valleys. We go through a valley and we want to write a book afterwards,
mm-hmm.
you know, or we want to have a podcast afterwards.
Or a movie or yeah.
And how many times it's like, that's the Christian walk.
Yeah.
You know, we'd all have a book or a movie if that was the case. And I think that's the beauty of when you're traveling with other believers, it's the reality that, hey, you're not in it alone. Like the Lord knows he is. I saw this recently. It was so funny. It said, my heroes all went to jail, and it had like Joseph, and it had all the people, you know, Jesus, John, Peter, you name them. They were put in prison. They were enslaved in some way, shape or form, or died a criminal's death. And I thought it was just interesting as we don't ever slow down to like appreciate the oppositeness that it is the Christian church here in the world that we live in. I don't know. I think of all the translation arguments I've heard of, you know, the King James onlyists and, oh, well, you read the NLT or heaven forbid you read the Message version by Eugene Peterson. And like, that's not the Bible. And it's like, well, if you know the story of why Eugene even wrote the Message, he was a pastor that said, I want to write a Bible, not to translate because they need it, but to translate my people to understand it.
Yeah.
And that's why you see it being used now as a lot of pastors will use it to help translate. Like, hey, I'm talking to someone that doesn't understand even basic understanding of the Bible.
And that is so huge.
The word's getting to them.
Yeah. However, I've been asked that question a lot. What version of the Bible do you read? I'm like, the one I can understand.
Yeah. Yeah. My first Bible. Do you guys remember your first Bible translation? Mine was the NLT. I was a student.
Mine was King James.
Yeah.
I had a King James and then felt very...
A lot of vowel and
like the 1611 version. Yeah.
I remember trying to study and read my King James and just struggling so hard that I remember when going into the bookstore and I saw that they had a new King James. I'm like, I can... And I felt like I cheated some way because I could actually understand it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, we are multiple layers and multiple versions deep and cross-referencing and doing all the things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. NLT has always been a good reader's translation, but yeah, I mean, that's one little plug for the Connection classes. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jason talks a little bit about translations and why we use the ESV here at the church, not because it's the only translation, but it's more of an actual parallel of actual literal translation versus paraphrase. And so it's an interesting little, you know, idea of how to do that, what other people are reading. So,
but I think if you read it and you read David's life, you may not read through the Psalms and think, wow, this man is emotionally unhealthy and a little nutty and bipolar or whatever. You might be like, oh, he's a human who lived a big life, who had all the feelings and was honest about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like if you read my diary or your diary, you'd think the same thing. Like, this guy should probably be, you know, watched 24/7.
Oh, mine would be like, they trust her with children. Yeah. Have you read? Yeah. They trust me with children.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's always a good time to slow down, to look at, you know, when I was preparing this, I was saying, you know, how funny is it to slow down and look at something like Psalm 23, but this is Psalms in general. I remember it's not a Gideon Bible. I don't know what they're called, but in like high school student Bibles, they used to give them out. They're little small, thin ones. You could barely read it. It's like font three size.
Right.
But they would be the New Testament and the Psalms and Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
And it would always be this little bitty book, and they would always give them out. And I just thought so interesting that, you know, they become so common of, oh, yeah, the Psalms are in the Bible. And we say that, and it's so interesting that it's poetry, you know. And we look at the Bible. What is the Bible? It's this huge narrative, but there's certain types of narratives. And so the Psalms are poetry, and they're meant to be sung, but they're also meant to be meditated on because poetry is images. So that's why you have the Lord is my shepherd. Well, he's not literally saying you're a sheep, but he is saying you're a sheep, and it's poetry, and you have to use your imagination. And I thought it was just interesting as we slowed down of like, how do we appreciate the Psalms more? Does it draw a hunger to read more Psalms? And another interesting thing, too, that most people don't know is it's split up into five books. So you have like the first five books of the Bible, it being called the Law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough, when you read some of it, it's broken up into certain sections. And the first book, second book, there's five actual like chapters of the Psalms. Even though there's 150 Psalms, there's actually only five chapters if you look at how it's broken up. So it's just an interesting way of like, how this book has become so common. I mean, it's just been, what do we use it for? And we use it for worship and we use it for this, but it's like, it's meant to be for you in your daily walk.
Yeah.
You know, there's a psalm for every day, but yet there's more than, you know what I mean? There's more than one a day, but I don't know. I just, what else, as we start to close out on this little Psalm 23, listeners, what did you love about this series? Was it something eye-opening of just slowing down and almost forcing ourselves to go verse by verse of something that we love to read in full and just to slow down of what does it actually mean, the Lord? Even just the Lord itself, our Bibles have that capitalized. We talked about that. Just that's a personal name in our Bibles for Yahweh.
And I think we've, you know, we're mature Christians. We know these things.
Fixing my tie real quick.
Yeah, we've got this. I think having those moments of just going back to like almost, and I felt like you did this very well. It was almost like Bible 101, here's Psalm 23. Let's baby step it, break it down.
Yeah.
You had something for people who were brand new. You had things for people who, like, it is well, I have decided. Those, I remember the first time I heard the story behind It Is Well. And I remember then singing it after and just sobbing hysterically at the emotion behind it. And I think those are things we need to circle back to more often.
Yeah.
Just the basic fundamental things.
The Horatio Spafford, I mean, that was one that I had heard many years ago too, but just, you know, and hopefully this is sensitive enough, but even considering what's recently happened, you know, with the submersible and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But just, you know, the Titanic and all that, like this is early 1900s, Horatio Spafford, late 1800s, technology, you know, ships, all that stuff hadn't really progressed like it has now. I mean, there's ships now that are three times the size of the Titanic now, but I just thought it was interesting to slow down, to look at what we think is a hymn that's written when someone's spiritually enlightened.
Yeah.
And they went on this journey and they didn't talk to anyone for multiple months and they came back with this beautiful hymn that was penned and they knew what key and all this other stuff. And it was like, no, it was written in chaos because they found their peace in something that was beyond understanding. Thought it was just interesting. What about the I Have Decided? Have you guys heard that story before?
I had not heard that one. That one
blew my mind a little bit.
That was hard.
Yeah. Because you sing that song and you're like, oh, that's, you know, that's everyone's salvation song.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, and it was also the guy's last words.
Yeah.
I thought that was a... That one really got me. I mean, there's tons of other hymns too that I mean, most of us, we think they're written on the mountaintop. And the reality is the true testimony of the faith is most common in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. All right, as we close out, what are some parting words? Do we have any parting words? It's a shorter podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to have most of the crew back hopefully in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
We got some on vacation, some doing stuff for 4th of July, but we'll be back. The whole crew, and we're excited to have Pastor Jason come back.
Yeah, we'll have to hear about all his vacation stuff.
Yeah, we'll have to hear from that. So, but yeah, if you're listening, let us know what you thought of Psalm 23, you know, kind of some things that you're looking forward to and jumping back into Pillars of Truth, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things coming up. One quick shout-out, I do want to give Nikki a little praise of VBS.
Yeah.
Don't make it weird. Level up.
No, I won't, but Nikki did a fantastic job. We're so thankful just for your heart for the kids here at Westside. And John, your song Level Up.
Oh yeah.
We're talking about putting it on Spotify.
It is currently
in production, so it should be out soon.
The kids were so excited for all of that, and we are so like thankful and blessed that we have John and Haley Murphy here to do what they do. It was great.
A lot of fun, and shout out to Blackburn, to Josh. I had so much fun.
Guys.
My Luigi voice.
You were the best Luigi.
I can't stop. I sounded like Mickey. Everyone's like, you sound like Mickey, and I'm like, listen. It's Luigi, okay?
That is, like, when you have the job that I do, like, there's all the things. But you guys jumped on it. And when it's Wednesday and I get a call, hey, I'm not going to be back in time. And I'm like, oh, no, I've got to find a Bowser. And Josh Miller jumped
on
it.
Had a Bowser hat.
They went
ready.
But that is, like, God's planning and perfect timing always. They were, him and Cassie and the boys were Bowser, Princess Peach, Mario, and Luigi for Halloween.
Wow.
So he had it all. And then, like, I threw John an audible because we had so many tiny, tiny people. I'm like, hey, we're going to split this group of 30 plus up. Are you good? And he's like, yeah, we'll just do worship as a whole station. And the kids loved it. And it was so much fun, so much work, but the win was just... I think all the adults were as happy as the kids were come Thursday night. It was great.
Oh, it'll be memories for sure. I think
it was
that.
So
just huge shout out to every one of you that volunteered, that listen to volunteer. We just can't thank you enough of what you do for the church here at Westside.
So. And then this coming Sunday.
Yeah, what do we got coming up?
This coming Sunday, we're going to do a movie night here. We're doing a little drive-in VBS, so
and come you out. You may have guessed the movie, but what's the movie?
The movie's going to be the Super Mario Brother movie. We're going to do the new one. Yep. We're going to like have some popcorn for you guys, and you can bring your own snacks. It's going to be about 8:30, but before we do that, Westside Youth will meet.
Yep, 7th grade and up.
7th grade and up.
If you've graduated 6th grade, I think I finally got it down.
Graduate.
You've graduated 6th grade, and you're going into 7th.
You're one of...
Come hang out with us. And then hang out afterwards, watch a movie.
Watch it's a movie.
Great. It'll be fun. It'll be hot. It'll be great.
It'll be great.
But yeah. All right. Well, hey, I don't know. Am I missing anything else? What we got coming up?
Upper Room Worship is at the end of the month.
July 30th. 5:30, right?
5:30. Yes, sir.
Cool. Yeah. You don't need tickets. Just show up here at the church. Up.
Yeah. You don't need tickets. Yeah.
I honestly personally love the Upper Room just because of the prayer prompts. I just think it's really cool of... You know, the band, the stage is always packed. For me, some of that stuff, I eat it up, man.
So if you don't know what Upper Room Worship is...
Inform the peoples.
Oh, man. So Upper Room Worship is just a time to worship together. We just, you know, do a lot of music and we get to praise the Lord. There's a lot of time for personal reflection and prayer prompts. It's just a great time. It's just a great introspective time to spend with a select group of people and just spend it in the presence of the Lord. So... It's a lot of fun, a lot of great time. We've done two already, and we've had a great turnout, and it's just been a really intimate time with the Lord. So
I think that's a great word, intimate, because it is very intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all for July. I feel like that's all for July. Yeah,
that's right.
The
summer months are supposed to be the low months, yeah.
Yeah.
Just get excited. August, September, and the rest, the fall's coming.
It's
conversations are starting. That's great. We love it.
I'm excited. Halfway point of summer today.
Christmas, here we come.
We'll blink. It'll be sad.
School years in a couple weeks.
Well, hey, again, thank you so much for listening to the rest of the sermon. If you want to check us out more, westsidepb.org. All sorts of information. You can find us also on Facebook, all the social media platforms. We're there. Listen, subscribe, like, do all the things you're supposed to do. And hey, tell somebody about Jesus this week. How about that for 4th of July?
Go.
Yeah, there you go.
Do a little bit of Jesus action this week. So cool. All right. Well, until the next time, it's all about Jesus. We'll catch you later.